This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly O? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need Rocket Mortgage and their assistance, contact their team at 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us at a Trash Tuesday here on the DA Show. Coming up in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. Plus, coming up in 40 minutes, your best audio of the day. And coming up next hour, the creator of Wolverine Studios ran a simulation for the entire NCAA tournament. Gary Gorski will go over what the simulation uncovered about how the computer thought this year's NCAA tournament would have unfolded. Last night would have been the national championship game. So Gary's going to join us coming up next hour here on the show. On a Trash Tuesday, I want to hear from you guys. Who or what are you trashing on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Some trash is coming to us. CJ tweets, I'm trashing the woman at the grocery store yelling at me for not wearing a mask when I cough. I have allergies, not COVID. Don't judge. Make a scene in public. Let's stand together, although 6 feet apart, not against one another. Okay, trasher.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Although I will say that you have to understand people are on edge right now. And if you cough or sneeze in a public place, people are going to give you the stink eye. And they don't know necessarily that you've got allergies. Of course, the instantaneous reaction is, oh my goodness. So you got to... I just feel like everybody right now needs to have patience with one another. I know Mraz is all bent out of shape that this chick slid into his DMs from college for the wrong reason, scolding him about going out to the park. But you have to realize where she's coming from as well. She's fearful. She's worried. She's seeing all these spring breakers and people going to church and all these people that are breaking the code of 6 feet apart. And so she's worried about you, Mraz.
Yeah, look, I have no problem with being worried, but she said it more in a tone of how dare you endanger everybody else to go take a jog somewhere. Again, I have no problem with that being the issue if you don't know that I'm actually staying apart, but you also can't be the person taking a wild vacation because you had to get that in last second as we were closing down the country. You can't turn around then and be that glass house. I don't like that.
What would be the right reasons to slide into your DM?
Well, you know, I realized I said that.
And you said it's the wrong reason to slide into the DM.
I said it's the wrong. I guess the right reason would be, you know, I'm going to give you a really good answer. Check how my daughter's doing.
Oh, okay.
Make sure the family's healthy.
Got it.
Hey, haven't talked to you in a while. Everybody's healthy. That would be the right reason.
Okay. All right. Good to know. More trash is coming to us. Rob in the 321. I'm trashing the overabundance of the robocalls I get to lower my student debt or extend my car's warranty. I get 12 calls a day. I'm on the do not call list. Get them out. Stop calling. Hashtag trash them. The robocalls are brutal. Absolutely brutal these days. Just leave me alone. Randy tweets, I'm trashing cell phone companies and towers on half of my paper route. I'm unable to get your show on the phone. Hello, it's 2020. Can we not have cell service everywhere? Hashtag, how could it happen?
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Hit us with your trashes. Again, DA on CBS is the Twitter handle, DA on CBS. Kurt tweets, I'm trashing my cat who thinks his butt is his best feature and never misses a chance to put it in my face. I'm recycling Mraz's genius idea of naming different parts of his house like clubs or hotels. That is abject genius. Trash Kurt's cat.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Oh!
Cats do have a an inherent ability to just turn their butts right in your face as you're sitting on the couch or at the table or on the counter or wherever you are sitting at the desk. Mraz, is this happening with Eli the Pomsky as well? Do you find his butt in your face more often than you like?
Yeah, and it stinks. It really stinks.
Huh, so run to the family.
Yeah, everybody's ass stinks in my house. There's no doubt about it. Everybody. I mean, it's jeez. It's like War of the Worlds out there with the stomach issues.
Wow, interesting. I'm sure Danielle would love to hear that.
Oh, she's playing the kazoo on the couch every night. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's all the home eating. I mean, what are you doing? You're eating cookies and chips all day. Everybody's playing the trumpet as we walk around the living room. The baby, the dog, my wife. It's ridiculous now.
So right now, your household is just a kazoo choir.
It's a quiz. You don't know who's making what sound. I had to question all three of them the other day, and they all pointed at me. Eli looked up. Was that you? Taylor, even the same thing? And Taylor, for 3 months old, D.A., you got to hear the sounds that come out of this young girl. She's daddy's daughter, that's for sure. Hey, no, you dogs. Smell butts.
What kind of sounds are you hearing from Taylor?
D.A., there are, she, I mean, not to get too graphic, long, drawn out, you know, meh, meh, meh. Sounds like a duck is quacking out of the diaper.
So it's all the home cooking, you think, for you and Danielle that you guys are just battling kazoos right now.
Right. It's a kazoo fight. I mean, and Eli, any drop of provolone on the ground, he's scooping and scoring with that. That's leading to a lot of bad dog issues back there. And not to mention, he's due for a grooming cut. I mean, it's Dingleberry Central on the back fur. It's crazy.
So right now, your household is just a kazoo orchestra.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a game of Duck Hunt on Nintendo.
Thank goodness your wife sent me a candle, because that's all that needs to be lit down here.
Well, what'd you guys have for dinner last night?
Last night, I air fried some chicken cutlets. I made some string beans and some garlic, and I made some mashed potatoes. So that wasn't necessarily terrible. But we also inhaled some barbecue chips and dip around 3 o'clock, and it was like a white cheddar dip, and that dip, I'm telling you, woo, Nelly, that lit the ignition.
Oh.
Let me tell you.
Eggs for breakfast yesterday. I'm eating eggs like I'm running a chicken coop.
Let me tell you. Quarantine is bad because you snack all day.
Oh, no
question.
It's
just a snack city because you're at home. Of course, your home is going to be packed with the snacks. You're not at work. And so it's like you walk through the kitchen, let me grab some chips. You walk through the kitchen, let me grab a cookie. Walk through the kitchen, let me grab some popcorn. Walk through the kitchen, let me grab this. You're always snacking. This is brutal. Forget the freshman 15. There's going to be the quarantine 25. I mean, everybody's just snacking all day long.
D.A., I ran up the score on cookies yesterday. It was like I was playing Rutgers. It was unbelievable. Every time I walked past the kitchen, it was one cookie at a time. And I sat down. I said, oh, maybe I'm going to move for a little dessert. And I thought to myself, I must have had about 8 cookies today. And just all 8 separate at a time, like 1 an hour at one point. It's ridiculous.
If you want to sit down with us tonight and watch a movie for tomorrow's show. We're watching Rookie of the Year tonight, okay? Everybody here on the show is going to watch Rookie of the Year. That's the 1993 Henry Rowan Gardner film where a young man who's 13 years old has, I believe he breaks his arm, falls out of a tree, if I'm not mistaken. And
it's a realistic film.
He has surgery to reattach some type of tendons or ligaments, and he comes out basically throwing 105 miles an hour at a surgery. So he's immediately brought up by the Cubs to become their ace. And
was he their ace or their number two? I feel like he might have been their number two.
Yeah, as we transition from number two to number two. So we will watch Rookie of the Year coming up here tonight, and you can watch with us. It's the DA Show, Mothership at the Movies. Get your popcorn ready tomorrow as we break down Rookie of the Year in terms of sports movies.
DA, he fell on a baseball going into the outfield to play baseball.
Okay, wait. So he was playing Little League Baseball and slipped on a baseball?
Slipped on a baseball, yes.
He slipped on a baseball and then broke his arm that way?
Broke his arm, yes.
Went up in the air. And I believe, and we're going to remind ourselves
very
today
traumatic.
We watch. I believe he was a member of the Pirates on his Little League team.
But he's definitely a Cub when he gets up to the majors.
Yes, a little division alignment there. Yes. That Cub team was stacked. I really can't wait to get into it tomorrow.
Yeah. Mark Grace, Sean Dunstan, Henry Rowan Gardner.
Chet Stedman.
I don't know if he unseated Greg Maddux as the ace of that rotation. But the early 90s Chicago Cubs. So we'll watch that tonight and talk about that tomorrow.
And it should be noted, if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, it is free on Disney Plus.
Very good. You can watch that. You can rent it on Amazon Prime for $2.99. YouTube as well. A lot of those places. But yes, as you said, it is on Disney Plus. So yesterday, Tom Brady released a letter for the Players Tribune, and it's got a lot of normal Tom Brady trying to be inspirational, and I thought the tenor was right. I don't think it was overly obnoxious. I don't think it was overly egotistical. I mean, it was a lot of appreciation for his years in New England, talking about being maybe a little disoriented by going from coast to coast. He was a California kid and then went all the way to New England, talked about how it was a little uncomfortable, didn't know where the ocean was. In California, the ocean's to the west. Here, the ocean's to the east. I mean, that's kind of corny, but talked about the seasons, okay. Talked about the fandom of Bostonians. So it was fine. It was fine. It was inoffensive. But there was kind of a constant, the only way is through, which is kind of a life mantra that basically you can't avoid troubles, tribulations, challenges. You got to just walk through them. You got to face them head on. So the only way is through. So that's what he's saying. The only way right now in his career is through. He's got to walk through this. And it's all fine and good, except there is very obviously a few lines that are passive-aggressive shots at the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Number one, playing for the Buccaneers is a change, a challenge, an opportunity to lead and collaborate and to be seen and heard. I know my time there will be as amazing in its own way as what came before. This is undeniably a shot at Bill Belichick. Undeniably. Playing for the Buccaneers is a change, but an opportunity to lead and collaborate and to be seen and heard. I mean, that's pretty obviously what was not happening in his mind in New England. Now think about this, the Patriot way. The Patriot way is you put the team above yourself and you don't question management, you don't question authority. This is why the roster changes so often. This is why the Patriots bring in so many veterans. This is why the Patriots bring in guys at the end of their careers looking for a ring, because they know they will get subservient players. They will get players that have been around the block before, have seen bad coaching, have seen losing organizations, want a ring, and are not going to question anything. They're going, okay, I got my one last chance at a championship. I'm playing for one of the best coaches that's ever lived. You know what? I'm not questioning it. I'm fitting in. I've done my thing already. I've made my money already. I'm taking a veteran's minimum to win right now, and I'm not rocking the boat. Right? That's the types of guys they get. They draft the Julian Edelmans.
the Danny Woodheads they find, scrap heap guys, sixth round guys, seventh round guys, because they know those guys are scared to challenge management because they'd be out of a job. So they naturally get those grinders, the Chris Hogans of the world. Find those types of guys. The moment a guy wants more money, you're out of here because you're challenging what it is that we do. So here is Brady making it very obvious. A chance to be seen and heard. He had felt as though he was being silenced and he didn't have input and he wasn't collaborating. And I have to say, I want to be fair to both sides here because, as I've said in the past, I agree with both of their decisions. I agree with Bill Belichick's decision to move on from Tom Brady, and I agree with Tom Brady's decision to go find that last great paycheck. Hey, that's up to you. You want to get another payday to play football? Totally up to you. Somebody's going to pay you to do it? Go ahead. For Belichick, he made the right football decision, no doubt in my mind. I don't think Brady's going to be great this year. I think it's time for the Patriots to move on a year early than a year late. Why would you pay for the Patriots $50 million for Tom Brady over the next two seasons? I totally get it. But I do think that what Brady is saying, and at least in his mind, is that I'm Tom freaking Brady, and even I didn't have a voice within the Patriots. Now, that might be a little oversimplified and maybe not quite accurate from Brady's side of things. I mean, do I think that the Patriots looked at Brady and probably asked him, okay, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? I would think so. I mean, they brought in Antonio freaking Brown last year. I got to tell you, if Jared Stidham was the quarterback or Brian Hoyer was the quarterback, there's no way they're bringing in AB. They brought in AB for Tom Brady, pretty obviously. So, you know, the idea that he had no say and no voice, I think that's a little dishonest. I think it's a little disingenuous. Maybe that's how Brady thought of it, that there was enough times that he didn't have input, but it's not like he didn't have any input. But I also think from Belichick's standpoint, this is a mistake because, you know, when he's the defensive coordinator of the Giants in 1986, don't tell me he didn't ask Lawrence Taylor what to run. Don't tell me that he didn't look at LT and say, okay, we build everything around LT. What's it going to be to make sure LT takes advantage of LT. I mean, Belichick's not stupid enough, or at least has not been over the course of his career, to not utilize the input of players. I mean, I can't imagine he has Randy Moss in 2007, doesn't ask Randy, okay, what plays do you like to run? When do you feel most open? How can you break here? I got to imagine he takes input from guys. So the fact that Brady could be there 20 years and not feel like it's collaboration anymore, and feel as though he's silenced, he's not seen, he's not heard. I mean, maybe this stems from sensitivity over being trying to be traded, being shopped by Belichick a couple of years ago instead of Jimmy G. But I do think that at this point, I side with Brady here. Maybe he's being overly sensitive. But Belichick should allow the greatest winner in NFL history to feel seen, to feel heard. And I think that Belichick sometimes, maybe oftentimes, loses the humanity side of things. And you see this in a lot of ways. I mentioned this yesterday. I watched the Two Bills documentary with Belichick and Parcells over the weekend. And it's very illuminating because Belichick very rarely in a two-hour documentary shows almost any emotion. And this is a guy that he basically grew up with in football that gave him five jobs that taught him a ton. And Belichick is totally withholding. Now, Parcells does as well. But I think that hurts Belichick in a spot like this where you want to be collaborative, I would think, with Brady at the end. You know, and there's video of them sitting in Belichick's office together. So I don't think it was completely off the mark, but at least Brady felt this way. And that's a weird thing for him to feel at the end. I mean, if he felt as though they didn't trust his football, that's one thing. Clearly Brady didn't feel like they trusted his input either. And Mraz, at that part, you know, I've taken my cracks at Brady, but that part is a little weird to me that Belichick would not take Brady's input at this point.
Yes, and I think you nailed the perfect example of Lawrence Taylor in New York. If you're that great, in an all-time great, I mean, anytime you bring up Bill Belichick on any of these NFL films, documentaries he's ever discussing, or if you want to really get him going, as you've mentioned, in a post-game or a weekly press conference, you talk about some of the great players he coaches and how much he gushes over them and how much he loved to talk football with them. He doesn't view Tom Brady that way, or will he view Tom Brady that way after his career, but during his career, what, he looked down on him because he played for him? That doesn't make any sense to me. Tom Brady knows a thing or two about reading defenses, knows a thing or two about how the game should be played. The idea that Tom Brady would have no input at all as a quarterback when he might be the greatest quarterback of all time, I find that to be a little troubling.
Who do you think, this is an overreaction from Brady? Who do you think's more, where does the truth lie in this?
My guess is, like anything, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. Tom Brady, I'm assuming, was listened to at times. Am I assuming that Tom Brady maybe, at times wanted to be the smartest guy in the room and Bill Belichick maybe had to recheck him with that and that created a little bit of a power struggle? Yes, obviously. I think Tom Brady probably is very hypersensitive and doesn't understand that Bill Belichick at this point probably was a little hard and fast with what Brady's worth would be, because Belichick understood his age and understood that Brady was kind of falling off a map a little bit. Now Tom Brady takes it as sensitive that anything that might have happened last year or the year before, where maybe he brought something up that Bill Belichick disagreed with, now he's going to use that as an excuse.
Yeah, pop psychologist to me tells me that most of all, Belichick didn't trust Brady's talent anymore, his ability anymore. That's why he tried to trade him a couple of years ago. That's why he wasn't willing to pay him this offseason. And that led to probably Belichick becoming more and more distant. And so if we don't believe Brady has it anymore, we're not going to make him as an important, as a big a part of the decision-making process, because we're moving on without him. And I think Brady probably felt scorned because, or he didn't feel valued to them because he was almost traded, or they tried to trade him. And because they weren't going to pay him this offseason, so Belichick calls him and basically doesn't offer a negotiation, doesn't offer a deal. And so Brady's probably sensitive to, I'm being pushed out. But there definitely was some collaboration. I mean, they brought in AB for Tom Brady.
Right.
But I just think it's a problem from Belichick's standpoint that he could be so cold and so standoffish to the greatest player he'll ever coach. And yeah, that's, to me, that's going to be a regret for Belichick if he has any human bone in his body, that when he looks back 10 years from now, that Brady by the end felt pushed off and silenced and not part of the decision-making. That's just the wrong way for that whole thing to have unfolded at the end. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
If you're a D-Alien, then welcome aboard.
Hey, D-A, I just want to say, huge fan. I respect what you do. First and foremost, can you beam me up?
No doubt.
D-A on CBS Sports Radio.
The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. How about 12-year-old Henry Rowan Gardner taking advantage of a severe arm injury to become one of the most dominating phenoms in baseball history? The Cubs inking the right-hander after he threw a missile from the outfield bleachers to home plate at Wrigley Field. This heartwarming story depicted in the film Rookie of the Year, which we will be watching as a show tonight and then discussing tomorrow morning, so watch it with us. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus over 250 local branches and specialists available 24/7 to help you solve any challenge. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. The Cubs inking the right-hander after he threw a missile from the outfield bleachers to home plate. So, right, that's where he's in the outfield bleachers. An opposing team hits a home run at Wrigley, and he throws it back, right, and throws a seed right to home plate. And the Cubs are like, we've got to sign this kid. I can't wait to watch this. Oh, it's going to be so good. And we've had this segment called Get your popcorn ready. Mothership at the Movies, where we've been breaking down sports movies over the last 2 weeks. They were college basketball movies, Blue Chips, and He Got Game. And it's pretty funny that we did these two movies. I really like both movies. In fact, I had seen He Got Game when it first came out, which was now 20-some-odd years ago, and didn't love it. I liked it much better in the replay. So it's kind of interesting that Bogues and Mraz didn't like it. I kind of wonder if maybe it takes multiple showings, multiple viewings to kind of appreciate. But either way, they were two pretty deep, serious movies. I mean, while there's some light moments in Blue Chips, it's about the pressures of coaching big-time college basketball and challenging your morals to do so. Will you do the wrong thing? Will you pay the players? Will you cheat because of the external pressures? That's what Coach Bell is dealing with, Nick Nolte. And, you know, the pressure that come with boosters and amateurism and all that type of stuff. So there is a moral quandary that Coach Bell is dealing with throughout the entire thing and what the players are dealing with as well. Then He Got Game is a very emotional and combative movie about a son, Jesus Shuttlesworth, who was pushed to his limit, his breaking point, by his overbearing father when he's young to become a great competitor and to become a great basketball player. Ultimately, he does, but his dad is put in jail for domestic violence and accidentally killing his mother in a dispute. So there's all of this. These are heavy movies we decided to watch. Now we got a kid who's throwing a seed from the outfield bleachers, signed by the Cubs and Rookie of the Year. I needed this, guys. Mraz, I needed to have a little bit of a lighthearted movie to watch.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Chet Stetman. And also, I would say, you're usually not getting, you know, basically any kind of domestic violence issue on Disney Plus. So I think if we turn here
right.
and we do this with a Rookie of the Year, you know, maybe we get nice feel-good stories moving forward. I think that's what we're looking for now.
Yeah, look, I'm going to bang the gavel right now for a couple of feel-goods in a row, okay? I don't need heavy, dark yes. movies right now. I need a feel-good Rookie of the right. Year. I need a little Big League, an Angels in the Outfield, a Mighty Ducks, a Mystery right. Alaska. Give me some of the feel-goods right,
right
now.
They're not saving prostitutes and putting them on greyhounds upstate in Mystery Alaska. That's not what's happening.
No, not like Denzel did and He Got right. Game. We need something a little lighter right now. So first up is Rookie of the Year, and then next week is going to be Happy Gilmore, because that would have been after we would have watched the Masters this weekend. It would have been Masters weekend. So we'll watch Happy Gilmore with Adam Sandler. Again, a little bit of a feel-good there. I mean, there is the fight between him and Bob Barker, but I think we can overlook that in terms of a dark moment of the movie and get to the shining lights through it. Standing by with your headlines this morning is our good friend and kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Bogues, are you excited to watch Rookie of the Year tonight?
In fact, I've already watched it. We watched it this weekend with the kids,
okay.
so I am locked in, ready to go.
Okay, so number one, how old are your kids again?
My daughter's about to be 9 and my son is 6.
Okay, 9 and 6. Did they enjoy a movie from 1993?
They did very much so. I mean, it opens pretty quickly. You get Funky Butt Lover from the doctor when he
sure.
gets punched in the face by Henry's
Funky
unleashed arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that got them involved pretty quickly because
okay.
they're pretty big on toilet humor these days.
Got it.
So Funky Butt Lovin' was a good draw-in immediately. But no, my son watched the whole thing. Like, even at one point, like, I might have been distracted by something else, and he made me finish watching the movie. And like, Dad, you're talking too loud or something. So,
okay.
No, they were definitely in.
Okay, number two, does it hold up? I don't know when the last time you saw it was, but does it hold up?
Yeah, I mean, it's super entertaining. It is really, really, really far from reality in a number
perfect
of different ways.
Perfect for this project. Perfect.
Exactly. But it is, it's pretty darn good.
Okay, and number three, as a quick preview, did you take more or less notes on Rookie of the Year than you did the previous two movies?
This would be the least of them. It has gone in a slow decline. A lot of notes
okay.
for Blue Chips, and then He Got Game had some, and then this has even fewer because.
So are you getting lazier?
No. But this one being that far from reality, like there's only so many examples that I could write down. Like the fact that they went from school to practice to a baseball game with a stop at the park to play with their toy boat in between all in one day, all during daylight. Like there's only so many notes you can take on that.
All right.
And they
were
going to school in August, by the way, too. So, I mean, it's detached from reality. So there's not so much note-taking for Rookie of the Year.
Well, see, in my world, that'll become a lot of note-taking because I would wonder about the union right there. I mean, where does the union step in for Henry Roengartner allowing him to go to class and then practice and then a game all within like a six-hour period?
Well, and it's not just the union. I mean, there are child labor laws. You know, the government, police might have needed to be involved here, that this young man was being forced to learn things, to play, to practice, and then to be up late. You know, there was no double in a movie or like on a Broadway show. Like, there's two kids usually for one part. They take days off. One does the matinee, one does the night. This is all Henry all the time. And at times, it's impressive how good he's able to perform based on all of this demand on his time.
Roengartner had no understudy, and Roengartner would go on to American Pie fame as well a little bit later on
after
his baseball career.
Oh, so that was... no, I didn't even think of that. That's the face. You're right. That's the guy.
Yeah. Henry Roengartner would end up with Tara Reid in American Pie.
Oh, mind blown.
I think that's what Tara Reid said.
That. Oh, my goodness gracious. You're right.
Yeah, so he had a really successful post-playing career as well. He was out of the league by 18, I think.
I can't believe that's the same guy. You're right.
Cracked into the majors at 13, was done by junior in high school.
Well, since I did watch, I can tell that he actually bails. He goes in and says, I'm done at the end of this one season.
Oh, he's a okay. One-and-done-er. So he's a one-and-done guy. Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. So, so he got back to his life. All right. Very good. Well, tonight we're going to be watching Rookie of the Year and breaking it down tomorrow morning. Mraz's mind is blown. Bogus has our headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Major League Baseball and its Players Association have a plan to play sometime in May. It's a long way from reality, but here's what it would look like. All 30 teams in the Phoenix area sequestered in local hotels, only traveling to and from the stadiums. Those stadiums would be Chase Field, where the Diamondbacks play, and 10 spring training sites. There'd be social distancing during games, like no mound visits, maybe no home plate umpires, and players sitting apart in the stands, not in dugouts. The plan apparently has the support of some high-ranking federal health officials. They see baseball and its young, in-shape players as a low-risk group for infection. Now, baseball knows the first step towards this is increased testing capabilities. The NBA agrees, so it's reportedly working with its players to acquire some rapid result testing equipment. These machines give results in 5 to 13 minutes after a quick blood sample. The league and union see this testing as the first requirement to resuming its season. Adam Silver did say last night May 1st is the absolute best-case scenario for making any decision on his league resuming. We're getting a few episodes of NFL Cribs Draft Edition later this year. The league informed teams yesterday they'll make picks from their homes starting on the 23rd. No gatherings of any kind are allowed. GMs and scouts will be on phones, Zoom, Google Hangouts, whatever. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta said yesterday he thinks his staff will be fine.
We did a lot of work in person in February and also in December to get ready for these meetings as well. So, you know, there are some challenges associated, nothing major, but we're excited about the opportunity and we think it's going to work out well.
DaCosta was also asked yesterday about Antonio Brown. Since he and Lamar Jackson worked out together recently, DaCosta saying those are in-house matters. He doesn't share his feelings on those publicly. If there are training camps this summer, HBO reportedly will feature the Chargers and the Rams on Hard Knocks. First time ever, two teams under the microscope, and obviously both of them in and around L.A., makes this feasible.
Oh.
And now maybe this is the... No? What's the matter?
It's just, I mean, how many times are we going to try to force the NFL and LA down our throats? Now we need Hard Knocks.
At least one more time.
I mean, come on. Enough's enough.
Well, I mean, will the Chargers ever be relevant in Los Angeles as long as they exist there?
If they had gotten Tom Brady, they would have been.
Yeah.
I think the answer is right now, though, no. I mean, without Tom Brady riding in a white horse, unless they win a Super Bowl, they're going to be completely irrelevant for as long as they are in Los Angeles.
They're not playing in L.A. in the year 2032.
Okay, that's kind of a random date to have chosen. 12 years from now?
Isn't that 10 years from now?
2032? It's only 2020.
Oh, you're right. To me, that sounded like it was 10 years from now. I thought I nailed it. You're right. It's two. It's a zero at the end of right now. Yeah, that's 12. I'm sorry. 2030.
Okay.
I think we just got a live stun to a news.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
Mraz is stunned, stunned to a news that it's not 2022 right now.
Stunned to a calendar.
It could be. I don't know what day it is.
Most people say yeah, they don't know what day of the week it is. Mraz doesn't know what year it is. That's how long the quarantine's been going on.
My apologies.
Maybe this is the impetus for Pete's trash. NFL Network says reviewing pass interference will be dropped for the 2020 season. The competition committee meets in some form in late May to vote on all possible rule changes. Oh. And the League and Hall of Fame unveiled its... Wait, what?
Enough of this. Rule changes every year. Stop it.
Wait, you didn't even know about this?
I'm just tired of it. Enough of these rule changes. Every year we got to change a rule. And it's always the same rule, too.
Which rule is that?
Any one of them. Pick them.
Okay.
Now would be a good time to mention, on Sundays, D and I now do a segment called The Switching Hour, where we pick rules we'd like to change.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's a nice segment, Pete.
Get them out.
The Chicago Bulls are finally revamping their front office. President John Paxson, GM Gar Hurd losing their power. The team already looking for a new head of the department. They reportedly interviewed Utah GM Justin Zanuck yesterday. And NC State commit Josh Hall is testing the draft waters. He's allowed to do that because he's 19 and a year removed from high school, but still could end up with the Wolfpack. And now, officially, not just because of Sean and calendars, let's be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now let me preface all of this by saying, obviously, our main concern is those actually suffering from coronavirus right now. Hopefully everybody is healthy and safe as soon as possible. But there are a lot of people missing out on kind of regular life things while the country is basically shut down. Kids are missing birthday parties, college graduations are canceled, no proms. People can't get married, which is where we'll be stunned today. A Michigan couple was prepared to tie the knot all on their own in an empty church, but then a local cardboard company donated 100 cutouts of people. They were tall, they were short, they were somehow old and young looking, they had long hair, they had short hair, and these cutouts sat in the pews of the venue so that, in particular, the woman didn't walk down the aisle through an empty church. It's a great idea, it's a super nice gesture, but here's what's stunning to me. If you're gonna do that, right, don't you need to go the extra mile and, like, decorate the cardboard cutouts as the people that would be at the wedding? At least, like,
well,
put their name,
I mean,
on them. Like,
you
want to
dress
up the guy here.
You want to dress up every one of the cardboard cutouts to be specific to the guests that would have been there?
I don't know about full costume, but I want to make them somewhat personalized. Or at least write, like, grandma across the face so you know who's supposed to be sitting there.
Right. For the record, these are just brown cutouts, and they're just silhouettes. There's no face on them.
Correct.
There's no painting. There's no color on them. I don't know about that. I think I would maybe throw a necklace on one of them. I mean, what else can you do? A bandana? I don't know.
Bogus wants the DA big head sitting all throughout the church.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. I loved having all you guys at my wedding. It was a fun wedding. I had such a good time.
Which one?
The second one.
I got you. Okay.
The one you guys were actually invited to.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, there were some people there I would have rather had the cardboard cutout. Okay.
Based on conversations I had, I could agree.
This would have been a really nice fail safe here. If I've been like, you know, honey, do we really need to invite them? We don't really like them. Let's just have their cardboard cutouts here. Okay. Instead, they can send their sympathies for not having made it. I don't know. I think, weren't there some people at your weddings that you wish you didn't have to invite and you would have preferred the cardboard cutout? I mean, that's probably all of Pete's first wedding.
You got that right.
Half of it.
Including the wife.
Pete wanted the cardboard cutout wife at the altar.
Jeez. I'm convinced some of the cardboard cutouts might have given me a bigger check than the real guests at my wedding.
This feels like a good solution. And I think we should do this at baseball games. If we're going to play them at spring training, let's just have a bunch of cardboard cutouts in the stands. Now, they're better than Marlins, man.
But there should be a guy in an orange Marlins jersey, a cutout with a jersey draped around it to be Marlins man.
Blocking Marlins man.
Yeah, we can dress up like one of these cardboard cutouts like the Chicken Milwaukee that always sits in the front row that gets all the attention for their low-cut blouses or jerseys.
I never noticed there.
Yeah, I'm sure we could do this. Let's get this going at these baseball games. Cardboard cutouts. I like this idea a lot. All right, thank you, Andrew. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. It's part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So last night on the Zach Gelb show, Mraz joined them as they squared off in a food bracket extravaganza. Here's the debate, Philly cheesesteak versus buffalo wings.
Look, the buffalo wing, it's really on a different level up there. And I'm a wing guy. I love them in New York. I love them in Florida. You go all over, get wings. Buffalo, there's something different. You can find a comparable, on a slight level, comparable cheesesteak in other places.
Oh, no, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Where? Find me a good cheesesteak in New York.
Let me tell you something right now. Carl's Cheesesteak, right field Yankee Stadium, is right up there.
Shut up.
Right
up there with Pat's bucks and it's not even good. You
forget
need seven
the price.
Beers in your system for it to be good.
Get serious. The Whiz with onions, it's the same thing you get at Geno's and Pat's. No, don't let your temple stuff hide the fact. No, that wing from Buffalo is not the same wing you're getting in Louisiana. It just isn't.
My relatives went to SUNY Buffalo. I love wings from Buffalo, but I'm overruling you here. I'm putting Philly cheesesteak. I get it once. I'm putting the Philly cheesesteak in the Final Four, and I am the biggest advocate for wings from Buffalo, but come on, meat and cheese,
onions. It never ends with you. It never ends.
Hold on, Mraz. This is a food bracket extravaganza. You get Bill Raftery into the fold with the little onions, double sauteed. Come on.
Those are two big boys going at it. Regional delicacies, buffalo wings, Philly cheese. Mraz, I'd have to agree with you. I think wings in Buffalo taste different versus a Philly cheesesteak. You can get a really, really close comp. Also, my experience with a Philly cheesesteak in Philly was good. It wasn't mind-blowing. Maybe I'm a little altered by that. But I think I would agree with you. I think I would go Buffalo wings, more significant of a regional perfection.
Thank you. You're going to have on a food expert. Listen to the expert. That was my gripe.
Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, doesn't want how they resume the season to affect next season.
There's been a lot of conjecture about various cities and places that might hold a tournament. Again, we're in listening mode right now. We've been contacted by many of those jurisdictions to ask what our level of interest is, and we've talked to them about what their capabilities are. But once again, it's just there's too much unknown right now. I will say, though, that as I look out into the summer, there does come a point at which we would start impacting next season. Even there, a few weeks ago, nobody thought we were talking about even a potential impact on next season, independent of what we might choose to do to finish our regular season and playoffs.
I get what Adam Silver's saying, audio courtesy of the NBA on TNT, but they're going to keep pushing that off. And if they can get an NBA Finals in this year, even if that means in August, even if that means late August, maybe even early September, meaning they have to start next basketball season in November, they'll do that. Because getting the NBA Finals in is such a significant part of their season and of their revenue that they're going to make those concessions. Believe me, it's not going to be like, well, we could get the NBA Finals in, but we definitely want to start next season in October. No, they'll push that. And finally, here's Ravens head coach John Harbaugh on the possible obstacles that lie ahead.
It's not something that I'm concerned with in the sense that we're getting ready for a season, and I'm assuming we're going to play. And I'm assuming we're going to be back at the soonest possible date, and therefore be ready for it to get the most out of it. We're all going to be in the same boat. I mean, none of us are going to have an advantage over anybody else. So whoever makes use of whatever the situation is the best, gets their team ready the best. starting with the draft and then with the development of our players. That's who's going to win the most games. So, like, you know, we just look at it that way. I look at it competitively.
Yeah, I mean, if you are John Harbaugh or any head coach in the NFL, the approach is act as though the league and the games will be going on as normal. Prepare for that until told otherwise. Prepare for that as normal as it can be. Obviously, you can't meet for mini camps and OTAs right now. You won't be able to be together for the draft. But prepare as though you'll be playing all 16 games this upcoming season, 17 games, and then the full playoffs. Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. When we come back, the NFL's all-decade teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.